You know, when the power of God hits you and you know it, it's just so sweet and so good, and you just got to shout about it. And when you do, the world will find out what happened. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember that. That just came up. So when you were getting excited, Alichka. You know, some, we need to get excited for one another. When there's a testimony like that, we just need to get excited for one another. It says, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. Yes. Amen, because we're a body together. Jesus is the healer. Everybody say, Jesus is my healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord my healer. Amen. That's who he is. That's his name. That's who he said he is. And he said that you are the healed. We need to know that is who we are. Amen. I just want to go over a couple of things here. People say, well, you know, why do people get sick? Good question. Why, you know, what is the story? Is it the devil? Is it? Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's an attack of the devil. Sometimes it's just spiritual warfare. We live in a fallen world. Now, Jesus said this to the guy at the pool. He said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So sin gives inroads to the devil. That's why it doesn't pay to sin, because it opens inroads to the devil that he will take advantage of. You know, like water seeks its own level. Well, his slime seeks its own level too. So we don't play in the slime. That should be easy. But sin gives inroads to the devil. You can sin against yourself. You can sin against your body. You can abuse alcohol. You can have a lousy diet. That's abuse of your body, isn't it? Yes. If you abuse your body like that. So or bad habits that put dirt in your lungs and dirt in don't get condemnation on this, because look, it Psalm 107, under the old covenant, they had a lousy covenant compared to what we have. Amen. We have a far better covenant based on better promises. And in Psalm 107, it says that Israel rebelled against God. They talked against God. They and then they cried to him and he healed them. All through that thing, no matter, it, like 7 or 8 times. And it says, and then they cried to him and healed them. So you could get yourself in such a jam with your bad habits and or whatever the sin is that you're doing, and you can turn and you can cry to God and he'll deliver you. He'll heal you. Amen. Now that's not an excuse to sin. Some people once said, you're giving people a license to sin. Did you know that? And I say, no, I don't need to. They're good enough at it anyhow. Don't do it, because it gives inroads to the devil. So sin is one source. But you can cry to the Lord, and he's full of mercy. Number two is spiritual warfare. These are attacks of the devil. Just attacks of the devil. You can read that in John chapter 9. But I don't have time to go there. But attacks of the devil, demonic forces, just attack. That attack can come from somebody who says something venomous to you, offend you. And it goes, in Proverbs 18, it says that the words of a talebearer, that's the King James, what that means is a slanderer, somebody who slimes you, slanders you, who lies about you. Right? The words of a talebearer go down into the heart, produce wounds in the heart. In fact, the New King James puts it this way. It affects your physical body. It says, the words of a talebearer or slanderer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. The rooms of the belly, they'll start to release infection, venom in your soul, and that's infection in your body and things. So spiritual warfare, just attacks that come from people, that come from demons, that just present you with temptations, whatever, that produces sickness. And some people, their sicknesses are totally unrelated to any of that, but they're all related to some root. And God will show you what it is. He'll say, you know, you need to change this. When somebody says something about you and you believe it and it wounds you, you're establishing an agreement with that person. And their words, there's a soul tie there. And you can cut it like that. You can say, I know what God says about me, regardless of what I think about me. In fact, we're going to talk about how you think about yourself in just a few minutes. But last week, we gave you several reasons why it's God's will for everybody to be healed all the time. Number one, God's word is medicine. That ought to be obvious. God's word is medicine to all your flesh, even your cartilage, right, Alichka? Amen. Amen. I got that one down. I got that one. How about a strong spirit? Number two, a strong spirit will sustain a man in his infirmity. God's word strengthens your spirit. Praying the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith, being a strong spirit. Original creation shows us God's original plan, his will. We can see that heaven and earth are as one. When Jesus said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. He wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's his will? Look at original creation. Look at the origin of sickness. There was no sickness until sin and iniquity came into the world. Sickness is of the devil, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he's no respecter of persons. You know, you can put those two verses together and understand the perfect will of God is for healing. And then we have a sickness of the, and then we have a covenant of healing. You remember when Jesus walked into that synagogue and the lady was bowed over like this? And he called her to him, said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And the guy got all twisted out of shape, you know, the ruler of the synagogue. And he said, you know, it's the Sabbath. You can't heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, why would not God, if you have a donkey and he falls in a ditch, are you going to not get him out on the Sabbath? You treat animals better than you've treated her. And should not this who? Daughter of Abraham. She's a covenant daughter. We have a covenant of healing. Should not this daughter of Abraham be healed on the Sabbath? I'm telling you. And we've got some more. The eternal names of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. On what day did God change his name to the God who doesn't heal anymore? What day was that? Can you go back and see when that day was? Or the God would change his name from Jehovah Shalom to the God of chaos? The eternal names of God, they are eternal, never changing. And you know what? All those names of God is embodied in the person of Jesus. He was all those things when he was here, and he is all those things now. Number nine is sickness is part of the curse of the law. God would never require anybody to be under the very thing, same thing that he delivered them from or redeemed them from. When he pays a price, he pays a price. That's the deal. He did it legally. You do not belong under the curse of the law. In fact, when you received Christ, you were delivered from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree. Amen? That what? That the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It doesn't even say by faith. You put your faith in Christ and the curse of the law is gone. It has no more legal right to perpetrate any part of your life. Types of redemption we see in the Old Testament when Moses put the serpent on the pole. Anybody got bit by the snake? Even when they were guilty, they just looked at that and they were healed. Types of redemption. I tell you what, when you get bitten by the snake, who is the snake? The devil. When you get bitten by that snake, you look at Jesus. What did he say about this? Who told you you were sick? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? You got bit by a serpent. Look unto Jesus. Types of redemption. Healing is part of redemption. It says the first fruits of redemption. Number 13, the eternal fatherhood of God. And number 14, healing is the children's bread. He said that to the Syrophoenician woman. He said it's not right to, and she was a Gentile. She had no covenant with God. There was no, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What he had to do is get something out of her that overrode all of that, that took it out from the law and the covenants and so forth of Abraham. He had to get faith out of her. And faith supersedes everything. Amen? And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, faith. Be it done unto you according to your faith. And her daughter was delivered that hour. Amen. I'm telling you, you have more power working for you than against you. Amen. God saw to that. We've got more ways. I'll share some of those with you next week. But turn with me to Romans 12. Not on the screen or anything, but and we're going to just make the devil mad, Jesus glad, and Jesus even gladder. Let's lift up our Bibles and say this out loud. Ready? Declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. If you take this out, every time you read the Bible and just say, okay, this is, I receive the life of this. I receive the planting of his seed in me. It will reproduce in me. I receive the authority over my life, my future, and everything now. In the name of Jesus, his word is leading me in that. I receive his blessing, the blessing of God. I receive his ability in every situation I face. And just read the word that way and ingest it that way into your spirit. Amen? Okay. Now don't get all cerebral and all intellectual on me. Stay in the spirit. It's not with the head. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Amen? It's with the heart. Things don't make sense to your head, but they make plenty of sense in the heart. Amen? So here's why. Your minds are limited. Your mind has a limitation to it. Even a renewed mind. You know, the mind of Christ is in your spirit, by the way. It's not in your head. The mind of Christ that God says, we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote that. He says, we have the mind of Christ. That means we can think like he thinks. And he doesn't think little. He doesn't think limited. He doesn't think small. He doesn't think those things. He thinks big. Well, this morning we're talking about the living word. Everybody say the word is alive. It's a living thing. And this is part three of our series, Jesus the Healer. And when it comes to sickness or disease, whether it pertains to your mind, your emotions, or your body, you need to associate with Jesus exactly the way the Bible says. You need to think of him and relate to him how the Bible says, and not based on your opinions, not based on the doctor's reports, not based on any of that. Yeah. You know, psychology can give you up for a lot. You know, this guy's got to be committed. Psychology will give up. Medical science, too often, medical science says, you know, there's just nothing we can do. How many times is that? Lori's a nurse. You guys are nurses. We got three nurses right here. Anybody else a nurse? Doctor? Aide? Whatever? But Shirley and Sherry. the Shirley and Sherry team. But too many times the doctor says, well, we can do this, but we can't guarantee it'll work. You know, God gets to the very root of it and pulls it out. And that's all done by faith. Faith in the Word releases the life in the Word. And we kind of started to tap into this last week in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, where he says, those who find the Word, who find his words, they will be life to those who find them and health or medicine to all their flesh. His word is alive and it gives life. When you put faith in the word and start walking according to that, saying, I believe this and I'm walking in this direction now, then the word comes alive in you and it starts to heal you. If you take enough of the word for long enough, the word will heal you. I don't care what the situation is. Jesus is the Word, and that's all he did. You say, well, God's will. Everybody got near Jesus. You know, he got healed. He never made one person sick, ever. He challenged people who came to him. What he needed was faith. That's all he needed. His will was to heal everybody who came. Jew, Gentile, Roman centurion, everybody. Amen? Because he loves people. Not because of them, not because of a covenant, but because of who he is. He is love. Amen. So relate to Jesus the way he says he is. He's your healer. Praise God. I want to go into this once more. I kind of hit on this a little bit, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine means? It means teaching. That's all it means. For teaching, for reproof. Now, in our modern times, we look at a word like reproof as a scolding. That's not what this means. The reproof is God giving you proof or evidence. The literal translation is either conviction or evidence of who you are. It's to bring you back into faith. The word of God is given by inspiration in order to teach you, just like he used to walk with in the cool of the garden with Adam and teach him. This is the way that, let me tell you about agriculture. Let me tell you about how to till this and get the most out of your harvest. This is, and he used to teach him. And he'd look at that sunset and say, wow, Lord, how did you do that? And God would tell him. He told him how he did that. Amen. For reproof, to convict you and to give you the evidence for who you are, a new creation. That's what the reproof he's talking about. Also for correction. You need correction in your thinking every minute. So do I. We need that constant reminder of correction, correction, correction. You know, don't be afraid of being corrected because then you become unteachable and God, you know, if you resist the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, he stops. Then when you're ready, when things go wrong and you cry to him and he'll come back and say, okay, you ready? Remember Joyce Meyer said that one time. She says, okay, God, I quit. He says, really? You promise? And you got to give it up. Give up your own and just be corrected. Because by the way, the New Testament, the Word of God is the rod of correction. If you don't listen to the Word, no amount of chaos or turmoil coming into your life is going to correct you. If the Word of God won't correct you, this is a willing covenant. You enter into it willfully. God's not going to violate your will. Amen? But if you take His correction and apply it, you'll be better off. Because everything we think and everything we talk about and everything we believe, it needs correction. Amen? You have opinions, attitudes, philosophies. Don't tell me you don't need correction. I need correction moment by moment, believe me. In this position here, for instruction in righteousness. You know what righteousness means is right standing with God. You need to be instructed in that. I need to be instructed in that. We all need instruction in righteousness to maintain that right standing with God, so that when the devil comes at us one way, we say, "Hey!" and he flees seven ways. That's fun. That's fun to see the back end of the devil and running in terror. You know, we just, you know, the four lepers, you know. The enemy runs in terror when he sees faith, because he has no protection for it. He has no defense for it. Faith, 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 faith. So we need continual teaching. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Continual reproof to prove again over and over and over who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, all you can do through, and your seat of authority. We have constant reminders. We need constant correction and constant instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, in verse 17, may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's why he corrects us, not to punish us, but to kind of love us into the lane that he called us to be in, so that we can operate it in the maximum capacity that he designed us for. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is fun. Say this: God is on my side. He's perfecting that which concerns me. He's furnishing me proof of who I am, what I have, all I can do, where my seat of authority is. He is working these things in me so I can be complete and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You know, we as Christians, we talked about this in men's yesterday. We as Christians, you know, we hear the word work and we go, wait a second. No, I'm saved by grace through faith. Well, yeah, I mean, we're not talking about works for redemption, right? I mean, if you're talking about justification, then there is no works that we can do. But in the very next verse, in verse 9 or 10, he says that we were his workmanship created unto good works. So we are not doing works for salvation. These are the works of faith for manifestation. That's what he's talking about. And every one of us, the Spirit is given to every man to manifest. Amen. So the works that he's called, he has created us in. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, created unto good works that he prepared that we should just walk in them. He did the work. We do the walking. That's a good song. Write that down, Phil. He did the work so we can do the walking. He gave the faith so we could do the talking. I have the spirit of faith living in me. It's a good little rap song there, B. Don't think I don't know these things. I'm a pastor. I know a lot of things. We talked about healing. Healing, healing. Last week we talked about the completed work in Jesus. He did a complete work. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Now, the new birth only pertains to your body. I mean, to your spirit. Your soul and your body have not yet been redeemed. They just haven't. Once you get your spirit born again, then you need to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? I'm yours to do with what you will today. Lead me where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. This is your temple. Bring it where you want it to go. And then get your mind renewed with the Word of God. Just talked about that. Think about yourself the way God thinks about you. Amen? Meditating on the Word is doing and exercising the Word. Reading it, saying it, and doing it. Reading it, saying it, and doing it. And if you take the Word for long enough, if you do that for long enough, the Word will bring healing into all of your life. It's the process of the Word being made flesh in me. Isn't that good? John chapter 1, verse 14 says that. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, or in our midst, and we beheld his glory. The glory, the Word of God, it's alive. Amen. It's the Word alive. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. You turn there, I guess. And let's look at verse 3. And here's why I'm saying so hot on faith here when we're talking about the living word, because your faith in the word of God is what extracts the life of God out of the word and into your heart. Say this, my faith takes the life from the word of God and appropriates it for healing, for deliverance, for safety, for soundness, for protection, over all the provisions of the new covenant. My faith in God, the faith of God, lives in me. Amen. So Paul says this, for I say, when Paul starts talking, things happen. He's a man of faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that's all of us. Don't look around. This is you. That's all of us. Every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of what? You need to start thinking faith thoughts about yourself. Amen. Regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of your physical condition, regardless of your mental condition, regardless of your emotional condition or whatever. Whatever is out of line with the word, start thinking thoughts of faith about you. Think that he said this, didn't he? He just said it. Through the grace, every think not more highly of yourself than you ought to. Why? Because that's pride. But don't think of yourself as a worm either. You're a son of God. You're recreated in the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ, and your spirit man is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. You were a sinner, but you're not anymore. You may sin, but that doesn't make you a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to wear that as your identity, put it on as the breastplate that never comes off. That's one thing. A Roman soldier never took off his breastplate. He slept in it. This is why Paul used it as the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? Let the word start identifying you. Think the thoughts of faith. Take what God says about you. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Lucifer did that and didn't really work out too good for him. So, but according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, think of yourself according to faith in what God says about you. Let the word of God define you. Let the word of God give you your traits and characteristics. Let him replace the old traits, the old characteristics, the old tendencies, and all of these things that the devil tried to wire in you since you came into this world. One word from God just wipes all of that out. Amen. Then let's float down to verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to what? The proportion of faith. And then he goes on to these other phrases that is the continuing thought according to our faith. Or ministry, let us wait in our ministry. Wait till that proportion of faith comes in your ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. So if you have a good proportion of faith, you can teach great things. If you have a great proportion of faith, then you can minister great things. And I'm not talking about numbers here or crowds. I'm talking about impact. Impact. That's what changes the heart of a man. I don't care if we got two people here or if we got 200 or 2,000. It's impact. It's the word of God that creates that impact, the truth. This is how we operate, by faith. This is what produces kingdom results in us. Man, great message this morning, Dwight, on giving. You know, this is how it's done, through faith. Why? Because God wanted to create a communication system with mankind that supersedes anything that the devil has. Anything that the devil can, and what man can't interfere with. Man can't interfere with faith. Man can't counterfeit faith. They can't imitate it. They can't do it. It's pure. It's faith. And it works. And it's a system of communication. It's how the system works. It's a premium of exchange to faith brings the results that God says we have. Faith produces what God says we are, what we have, what we can do. Faith makes all those a reality in our life. Amen? Amen. You guys there?
Yes.
You with me?
Yes.
Okay, don't get mad at me. I got a shield of faith if you are, but you know, I care about what God says about me, and I care about what you think about me for one reason. I want you to like me, because that's much better. And that's called fellowship. Amen. This is how the kingdom works. Our development in spiritual things is according to our faith. Nothing else. So get everything off the table that doesn't belong there and say, faith. This is how I'm developed, by faith. Even love. You can't walk in love without walking in faith. Did you know that? Faith operates through love. Love is not accessible without faith. Not in this world. There's too much coming at you the other way. But this is how we do things. We operate in faith. You know, in Jesus' life and ministry, in his anointing and the way he taught people to receive from him and the way he taught them how to receive, he always said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Even as you have believed, so be it done to you. Go in peace and be even as thou hast believed, let it be done to you. Didn't he say that? Religion changed that. Religion changed that. And you get millions of Christians who hold to the fact, who hold to this staunch belief that everything that happens, happens because of God's predetermined will or because of his timing. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. Or because it's the anointing of God. It has nothing to do with me. It's just God's anointing. Jesus never once took credit that he never said, you were healed because of my anointing. You were never healed. You were healed because it's God's will for you. He never said that, not once. He never said, this is God's timing for you. I mean, the planets and stars are right in line. And you showed up just in time because this is God's timing for you. Or because I'm so special and my anointing on me has healed you. Did he say that? Then why are we saying it?
Right.
Why would anybody say that? You know, God's timing is, you know, and well, there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. But a lot of that is determined by us. Paul said, I'm not ready to go yet. When I'm ready to go, I'll let you know. But right now, hey, I could go and be with Jesus. That'd be wonderful. But it's more needful that I stay here for you. He had a work and a gospel to manage. And he had work here. It was good work. And he loved it. He absolutely loved it. Yeah, the care of the churches came on him. Yeah. But he never let it inside. What was coming at him never got in him.
Right.
Never festered. He had that shield of faith. Faith, faith. It involves everything we do. Faith, faith, faith. You know, the Lord could have said that. If he wanted that to be the absolute truth, he could have said, it was my anointing. But he didn't say that, did he? What did he say? According to what? According to your faith, be it done unto you. Why do we change? The church, they change that. They say, no, we didn't change that. It's God's will. Yeah, you did. And you missed it. And if you missed it by this much in the kingdom, you might as well miss it by a universe because it's not going to work. If you leave everything relegated up to the will of God, he's already revealed his will. And his will is that you believe him. That's in John 3:16. It hasn't changed. Everything that we do has to come through faith. Everything that we receive from God, how we receive from God, when we receive from God is not up to God. It was His will. The anointing was involved. The anointing did the work. His will assisted that. But the anointing did the work, but the will of God had nothing to do to make it work. Do you understand that? What made the anointing work was your faith, your agreeing with the fact that Jesus is God's anointed and I'm receiving what He has. Amen. And when you receive that, and He is just as much Jesus now as He was then, in fact, even greater because He's at the right hand of God ministering to the Father for you. And He's ministering to you on behalf of the Father. Either way, He's teaching, reproving. Everything that He wants for you is in there, anointed and inspired by God, given to you on a silver platter. Take it and don't add to it and don't change it. It's according to your faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the Word of God, not philosophies of timing, God's will or His anointing. All of that is involved. Not the timing, but His will and His anointing are involved, but that's not what makes the anointing work. The anointing doesn't work. What makes the anointing work is your faith.
Amen.
In what God said about you and about Himself and about His will.
Amen.
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 Period. Well, some of you aren't convinced. But if God wanted to say, Jesus cannot lie. Jesus can only tell the truth. Jesus died for you. If it had anything other to do other than your faith, wouldn't He have said that? Why would He have cloaked this whole thing in some mysterious way? He didn't do that, did He? Would He have said? What about that issue, the woman with the issue of blood? We talked about this at men's too. You know, Brother Hagin studied and studied and studied that woman with the issue of blood, that story. I mean, he read that thing through hundreds of times. And there was one time he was at a kitchen table with another minister, and he said, we got to pray, and we got to pray now. That's what Kenneth said to him. And as soon as he started praying, Jesus appeared to him. And he said, Lord, I know there's something missing in that woman with the issue of blood. I know that there's something missing. What is it? He said, four things. And if everybody does these four things, they will receive healing in their body. This is the first thing. First of all, she said it. Number one, she said it. She said, if I may but touch His clothes, the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. 12 years she went to doctors. 12 years she did it. 12 years bound by fear of the worst. 12 years, and then she heard of Jesus. I'm telling you, you need to look at Jesus in another way and start getting faith going and moving in His direction. She said it. She said, if, then I will. See? Number one, she said it. Number two, she did it. She got out. She didn't sit home doing confessions. Nothing wrong with that. But the confessions tell you to do something. See, faith without works is dead. One translation says, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. She did it. She got out. She put things down. She put down her fear of getting out in public because in her condition, she could have been stoned. She should not be out in public among people in her condition. The law forbid it. She said it, then she did it. She got up and she walked towards Jesus. She went to the answer. He is the answer. So she said it and she did it. Then what did she do? She took it. She received it.
Amen.
She took it. Now, it was just as real to her as if I went over to Lori and went like this. mine. She took it. That's the way you need to be intentional about it. And take. Take it. She said it. She did it. She took it. And then what she did? She told it. She told him all the truth. She told him exactly what happened. And everybody around her heard him. And she was totally justified by the master himself. She was justified before the whole crowd who would have stoned her 7 minutes before that. He said, "Who touched me?" Oh, God loves faith. He loves faith. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. You don't have to wonder if God loves you or if he has enough power to heal you or enough mercy to forgive you or enough grace to empower you. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just look at him. She said it. She did it. She took it and she told it. Amen. Amen. And if you do that, I mean, why is that in the Bible? Are you reducing this to a formula? No, it's there. It's there, just like the instruction in righteousness, just like the teaching that comes from the Holy Spirit. He teaches you these precepts for a reason. It's because we need correction. We need these things. Amen. You know, there's so many formulas in the Bible that if you just follow them, they're there. And they come to life when you do them. So there. You formula fanatics. God is not a formula. I know he's a person, but he gave us some formulas to do. That's our homework. That's our public work. That's all the work there is to do, is to believe on him whom he sent and do what he said to do. Amen? Amen? David Duplessis was a Pentecostal preacher, just a man alive with God. He had a really good friend who was a Roman Catholic priest. And they used to meet together in the park bench once a week. And one time they were talking, and the priest was talking about something about Mary. And David was kind of, and he said, what does she say anyway? And the priest says, well, and David says, I can tell you the last thing she ever said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. That took care of the Mary problem for the priest, because he knew enough, you know, to know that the word of God is true and that you can believe it. Why is that in the Bible? You got to ask yourself, why are these things in the Bible? The Lord could have said, it's my anointing. The Lord could have said, it was just God's will this time. Or you're in the right timing. Did he ever say that? No, he did not. He did not say any of those things. Those are doctrines of devils. Yes, he was anointed. The anointing did the work, but faith is what made it work. Amen. Does that resonate with you? I mean, the fact that this is going to be the best news you ever had in your life. Because if their faith made them whole, then your faith can make you whole. Amen. Woo, glory to God. It doesn't matter on timing, anointing, or will, or anything. You can get it through faith. It's yours. It belongs to you. Trust in him. He's given you this for a reason. God is God all the time. And your disease, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, it doesn't have a chance once you believe God. And it has to depart and leave you. And you will be made whole. Woo, glory to God. That's the best news you can ever have in your life. It takes it right out of the hands of all the professors. Hallelujah. Takes it all out of the hands of those who are high and mighty. And it puts it right in your lap. Yes. And you can say, I believe God. This is what Kenneth Hagin said too. Look, he was struggling with these things when he was still paralyzed on the bed when he was 16 years old. Still struggling. Because people told him that it may not be God's will. And, you know, God has his own set of timing and things like this. And the Holy Spirit says, well, did faith, you know, dispensations and so forth, did faith ever end? He said, no, because without faith, then nobody can get saved. He said, well, what are you waiting for? You have faith. Faith is the same all the time. Amen. From the creation of this universe, when God spoke, words of faith. Faith is the creative force. It's a creative force. Light is the creative force of the universe, but that light came through the Word of God. Through his faith. His faith. Somebody, there's one theologian who says, well, God doesn't work by faith. He knows everything. He doesn't need faith. Faith and knowledge are two different things. You can know that God's will to heal you, but that doesn't get you healed. You can know that Jesus is anointed. That didn't get you healed. You can know these things, but it's faith that makes the anointing work. Amen? Did I drive that home? Did I nail that in your back and in your front and in the sides and through your head and in and out and sideways? Because it needs to be done constantly, correcting your thinking, correcting it, instructing you in right standing with God, and delivering, reproving the fact that you are, giving you the evidence. We have the evidence right here. Amen. This is what Jesus said. Don't change it. This is what God said. This is who you are. This is what you have. This is what you can do. And this is where you are. Don't change it. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you that your word is truth, liberating us, setting us free, giving us the things that we need to understand in order to walk in these things. Thank you, Father, that it's not our heads. It's not our mental capacity. It's not our prowess in our cerebral area. It's with our heart we believe. We thank you, Father, that there in our heart, we are unlimited in all that we can do and all that we can think because we release that power that works in us to walk where we haven't been able to walk before, to look at ourselves the way we've never been able to see ourselves, as conquerors, more than conquerors, more than man says about us, more than we were taught in school. But we are recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus by the Word of God through the gospel that changed us forever. Lord, let that just multiply in us. Holy Spirit, multiply these truths in us so that we can walk in the fullness of them. God, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, our altar ministers will help you there. And there's refreshments in the cafe, please. Avail yourself of the refreshments and look at each other in the eye. Tell each other you love them. Let's connect with somebody today and have fellowship with someone, okay? That's what this whole thing is about.